Hi, and welcome to the Perinatal Quality Collaborative of North Carolina podcast. I'm Keith Cochran, and I'm here with Karen Metzger. This podcast is part of the Sum of the Parts series. Karen's here to help me get a better understanding of quality improvement, and I thought it might be fun to share these conversations with y'all. Karen, could you start by reminding our listeners why we are calling it the Sum of the Parts series?
Keith, you may be familiar with the old adage, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. While this may be true, sometimes to stop and consider the definitions or implications of those parts adds clarity to complex issues in our work.
And what part are we going to talk about today?
Let's talk more about data. In previous conversation, we talked about two aspects or domains of data critical to using it well. First was determining the aim of data collection, and the second was test observability. To improve the care we provide, we have to be facile with the methods of data design that support rapid cycle quality improvement. Let's talk today about bias and sample size. When conducting research and searching for new knowledge, it is critical to design out or eliminate bias. In research, bias impedes our understanding of the results of the study. While some bias can be adjusted for in statistical analysis, most of the time it has the power to make a study invalid.
How about an example?
Sure. A study that gets patients by soliciting volunteers may have a sampling or self-selection bias if persons more likely to volunteer have traits in common. This would hold true even if you needed a car to participate and that was the only thing volunteers had in common. Another example of potential bias would be a drug study conducted by a provider who is convinced of the positive effects of the drug. You can imagine the possibility of investigator bias built into her evaluation of the results. Bias can be described as our preconceived notions or seeing what we expect to see, given our beliefs or experiences.
How does quality improvement work account for bias?
Work in quality improvement does not try to eliminate bias. Conversely, we accept a consistent sort of bias. Assume, for instance, that the head nurse is not convinced that to elevate the head of the bed 30 degrees will help eliminate ventilator-acquired pneumonia. There is little room for that bias to affect the interpretation of the results if the last 10 ventilated patients had the head of the bed elevated to a 30 degrees and avoided pneumonia. It's actually this type of observable data that builds the case for changes to improve outcomes.
Okay, and what about sample size?
Sample size is another place where we see sharp differences in how data is used and collected. On the quest for new knowledge, we don't know what might turn out to be related or correlated. We don't know the relationship or significance of data points. This leads to investigators collecting lots of just-in-case data.
Which sounds like a lot of time spent collecting data.
Work in quality improvement strives to collect just enough data. If every newborn discharged from the hospital needs a hearing screen, pull no more than 5 to 10 charts and see how many got the correct screen. If you find out only 3 of 5 or 7 of 10, you've got a problem.
So when we've already identified a problem, pulling 100 more charts won't really add useful data.
That's right. Remember, the aim in quality improvement is better care, not the discovery of new knowledge. In this example, the outcome we strive for is that 10 of 10 newborns get the hearing screen before discharge. When we discover a problem, as the numbers above imply, then we need to map the process and see where there is room for improvement. We'll discover it in the processes of care delivery in the hospital, and then what's left to do is pick a process we want to improve.
Which sounds like a topic for another day, as that's all we have time for now.
In future podcasts, we can talk about process improvement and also finish comparing the different design aspects of performance measures.
Until then, I'm Keith Cochran.
And I'm Karen Metzger.
And this has been Sum of the Parts. Thanks for listening. For more information, visit us on the web at www.pqcnc.org.